This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You alone are my
redemption. We worship no other God. We only want to worship you, Father. That's also the reason why we came together this afternoon. Because you are our God. We want to praise you. We want to worship you. We want to hear from you what you want to share with us this afternoon. That's the reason we came over here, Father. And we do not want to serve any other God, because there is no other God. You are God. Father, the enemy, as what we've been singing as well, the enemy is trying to steal our attention, trying to draw our attention away. But we bind him in the name of Jesus Christ. That we can focus on what you want to share with us, our God, our Father, in Jesus' name. Caroline has got a testimony which she would like to share with us.
Yes, I want to share something with you about trusting in God. At the fall of last year, I was struggling a bit at work. It felt like from one day upon another, I really could not function anymore. I was not even able to write a single simple letter. It was as if my brain shortwired, so I called it a mini burnout. It was not officially burnout, but the symptoms were quite similar. And it took me some time to get better. And then more towards October, November, I really felt God was talking to me about taking more rest and to start working less. And I was like, okay, but that will also mean a decrease in finances. And at that time, I was really struggling actually to make ends meet. And normally every month coming to the payday, I would actually have to start taking some money out of my savings to be able to do groceries at the end of the month. And I was like, but how? And at that time, I also had a tenant, a friend of mine. She lived with me for almost 2 years. And in that same week that I really felt that God was telling me to start working less, she told me she found her own place. So then I thought, oi, I'm struggling financially. Now you want me to work less? And my tenant is moving out, which means a big decrease in what is coming in. But again, I really felt that God was telling me, and then I went to some other people to ask, please pray with me to find out, am I hearing this correctly? And yeah, I got a confirmation that this is really what God was asking me. And so I took the bold step. I took what we call in this country, we have maternal leave up to the age where your child is 8. You can take a certain amount of hours over a longer period. And I did that. And then I also felt that God was saying, you have to start investing that time in the church. So every Friday I work for the church. So it was also a little bit like I'm taking leave to have more rest, and then I'm actually putting in the hours at church. But still, at the end of every month, I still had money left. So I'm not a mathematician, but I'm pretty good with numbers most of the time, and it doesn't add up. So my expenses have gone up because I'm not dividing certain expenses over 3 people, but over 2 people now, just me and my daughter now. My income has dropped. My income from my tenant is gone, but still, it is working. And yeah, I just want to encourage, because it doesn't add up. And I really believe that this is God, and that he is looking after me, and he's actually giving me what I need. And yeah, I just wanted to encourage you with that. If you're struggling with something and you feel God is asking you to do something that, like where the math just doesn't work, that if he's asking it, then do it, because he's gonna make sure it works out.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you that Caroline was prepared to do what you told her to do, Father, and that you blessed her. And Father, we speak, Lord, that this can be an example for us as well, Lord, that if you're speaking to us through the Holy Spirit, that we can hear that message, that we can do what you ask us to do, and that you will bless us then, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Is there anyone who still has got a word what you received or a picture what you received during worship? Then I'm giving an opportunity now that you can come and share. Today it's about the things of God. It's so easy, specifically if you're getting a little bit older, then when you've got to mention a certain thing, then you cannot get the word, and then you're just talking about a thing. So I think the word things are happening more and more in my vocabulary or in my language at the moment as you're getting older. And when the Lord gave me this one, the things of God, I thought, okay, what things? What is it what God wants us that we should listen to? What was he wants to share with us this afternoon? And I want to start with a scripture, and it's a scripture where Jesus is speaking to Peter. And if we take a look at before he started speaking to Peter, what actually happened? Jesus was asking the disciples and say, who do the people say am I? Then he asked, but who do you say I am? And then Peter said, you're the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said to him, but you are the rock. And then if we just read two sentences on, Jesus is explaining that he's going to Jerusalem, that he is going to be killed over there. He's going this death and his resurrection. He was foretelling it over there. And then Jesus, after Petrus, who was a rock two or three verses back, suddenly comes now and he says to Jesus, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen, Jesus. You can have all those type of things and you can say you're going to be killed over there and you're going to resurrect. That's not going to happen. And then Jesus turns. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. Because what Peter was doing was exactly the same as what Satan was trying to do after Jesus was baptized. He was trying to plan what God has got. He was trying to stop it, to turn it around. The devil tried it three times after Jesus' baptism. And Jesus sent him three times with scriptures. And over here, he's talking to Peter exactly the same. Because Peter is doing exactly the same as what Satan tried to do as well, to get him off track. Because if Jesus says, okay, it's good, it's fine, I'm not going to go to Jerusalem, I'm not going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm not going to be crucified over there, and I'm not going to be resurrected, then it was Jesus, or it was Peter's plan, then it wasn't God's plan anymore, then it was not his will anymore. And God gave me three things. The first one is his creation. And God said, it's my creation. And God is happy with his creation. He's very happy with his creation. We can read it in Psalm 104. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his work. If we make something, we normally also very proud and happy with what we've produced. If it is a meal, if it is something in the garden, if we've done something, if we've repaired a bicycle or whatever we've done, we're proud on it. We say, well done. God is also very happy with his creation. And God is perfect, so his creation is perfect. And his creation is also reflecting his glory, that we can read in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and a firmament shows his handiwork. If we take a look around, we see God's creation everywhere. There are some people outside who say, but God is creation. They actually make the creation their God. They're not worshipping the creator, but they're worshipping the creation. Me and Renee were at the end of March, I think it was, we were in Keukenhof, and we saw a lady over there walking from one tree to the other tree and hugging that tree. She was so mad about the creation. But she most probably doesn't know the creator. We thought about it, must we go and must we explain to her? Because she was hugging one tree after the other tree. Yeah, and it's actually sorry to see that. But she most probably doesn't know the creator. And then some of them also say, the whole creation, it's by chance. It just happened. There's no explanation for it as at the moment. And this is what they think. Those are the type of thoughts what we've got outside. But God is the creator, and his creation is perfect. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're God's creation. And God created heaven and earth for three things. He did it so that he could express his glory, his beauty, his majesty, and his power. So that he could express it, that he could show it over there. Because if we really take a look at at creation. It's beautiful. We're going on holidays, different places to have a look and see how beautiful it is. If it wasn't beautiful, we all stayed in Utrecht over here. But if it's holiday period, the people go all over the world to have a look and see how beautiful it is, because that's part of God's creation. God's created heaven in order to receive the glory and honor what he deserves, because the creation is worshiping him and is supposed to worship him. We are doing it, we've done it just now. And I think that the whole creation, what we see, like it says somewhere in the Bible as well, that the trees are clapping hands. We do not actually notice, but it's so beautiful, the creation. And the creation even is giving glory to God. And then as well, that this creation is a place where God's will and God's plan can be manifested through his creation, through humankind. If you've got time, please read Psalm 148. I just took the first three verses over there. But read the whole psalm and read it a few times. It's so beautiful what's written over there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. And it carries on and it carries on. It's just about God and praising his name. That's where we are for, and that's what we have got to do. We've got a world outside who's not accepting creation. Urbanus and me had the opportunity this week to go to the campus, and we spoke to a guy over there. If creation is over here, then he's nearly around the world. He was so against creation whatsoever. And it was actually very interesting to have a conversation like that. He didn't believe in creation, and when you do not believe in creation, you do not believe in Creator, you do not believe in God. And it's actually so a shame that we couldn't spend more time with him, but he was so adamant that no creation, it was evolution, it's all been proven evolution and so on. And it was very difficult. Then unfortunately, all over this world, we've got faculty of theology who are teaching that God created and that God is involved in evolution as well. It's creation or it's evolution. You must choose. There's nothing in between. Because if we are going to say that God was somewhere involved in the evolution, then it means that God was not involved in each and everything. Then it also means then what those phrases like in the evenings and in the mornings, it doesn't mean anything anymore. We've got to take them out of the Bible because they are not true anymore. God created each and everything, and God was involved into the smallest detail of each and everything. We serve the Creator of all things. Second thing what God told me is God's will. He said, it's my will. But God's will is a sovereign will. You also can talk about the will of decree. It's God's will, and that cannot be broken, and we cannot change it. We've been singing it with the first song as well. We cannot change what God's will is. His will with the earth, we cannot change it. I tried to find a type of scripture going along with it, and then the one which I found is, strangely enough, from a person who acknowledges God, but who wasn't a believer. That was Nebuchadnezzar. That guy got mad, he lost his mind, and he got a mind of an animal for 7 seasons. And after the 7 seasons, he's got his sanity back again. And then he recognized the power and the authority what God had, but that God also had the ability to do whatever God wants to do, his plan. Daniel 4, verses 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or can say to him, what have you done? We can't go to God and say, what have you done now over here? It's God's will. It's his decree. It's going to happen. It's his sovereign will. And it will come to pass. We can do whatever we want to do. It is going to happen. Jesus is going to come back. Jesus has been here the first time as a savior. The second time he's going to come as a judge. We can do whatever we want to do. We're not going to stop that. It's God's will. It's his will of decree. It's going to happen. There's also a will of command, which means that God is giving it to us, but he leaves the option to us to decide, do we want to do what God wants us to do or not? But we'll come back to that a little bit later. And Jesus is also saying that he's not coming for his own will, but he's coming for God's will. And he says it in John 6:38, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him. And the word will over there is the Greek word telemai. And it's a determination in it. There's a choice in it. There's a desire in it. There's a pleasure in it. There's a will in it. And it's exactly the same word which is also used in Our Father when we say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That will of decree, we cannot change. That's solid. It is going to happen. And Jesus is going to come back. Second time, and Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to come a second time to earth. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is coming back. Now we've got the third one, and that's God's plan. God has got a plan with his creation, and God has got a plan for us, and his plan, he wants all of us to be saved, to be with him in heaven forever and ever. And normally I would take one scripture, but I took two scriptures just to show you that God wants all men to be saved. For this is good and acceptable in sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. It's not only the people on the northern atmosphere or the southern atmosphere or in the Far East or in the Middle East or in America or anything like that. All means all. There's no other Greek word for that. It's all. It means everyone. That's the will of God. He wants all of us that we should be saved. And to Peter, he's repeating the same. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's God's plan. That's God's will of commandment, that all of us should come. And we must understand that plan, because otherwise we cannot work according to that plan. But we must also be equipped to do what we've got to do according to God's plan, what God wants us to do for that plan. Hebrews 13 is helping us a little bit there. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, to do his plan, working in you that what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God wants to equip us, but he cannot equip us if we do not know beforehand what actually God's plan is. And God is equipping us through the Holy Spirit. Today it's Pentecost. Today and tomorrow, I hope that all of you have got a holiday tomorrow, that you can stay or sleep a little bit longer tomorrow morning. But it's a holiday. And yes, you can speak to people and you can ask them, does it actually mean the Pentecost? And they most probably will not be able to give you an example. They will say, okay, it's a Christian holiday, something like that. But they do not actually know about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God is equipping us to do his plan. Acts 2:1-4. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It is a sound. It's not the wind itself, but it's the sound of it. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. God is equipping the people. He's giving them two things. He's giving them tongues, which means that they could speak certain languages which they couldn't speak beforehand. So that limitation what they had, that they couldn't go to Greece, or that they couldn't go to Italy or to Spain or whatever, has been taken away. God gave them that they could speak in other tongues. But then God gave them something else as well. The Spirit gave them utterance. And utterance means that you can speak, that you can say, that you can speak forth, which means that you've got the capacity to do that. And I think a lot of us would like to have that utterance, that capacity that we can speak. I also battled with it. But the only thing was this, but just simply doing it when God told you to do, and then steadily you get used to it, and then you can speak. So the Holy Spirit is giving two things over there. He's giving the tongues and he's giving the utterance. And they're for all. They were not only given to the apostles at that time. They are available for all, for each and every one of us. We can get it. We can be equipped to do the plan of God. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things that I said to you. What we're here doing on a Sunday is, a lot of times, is just reminding you again, saying things again, what we've said before, what you've heard before. And most probably at the end of the sermon, you maybe say, there's nothing new in it. It doesn't matter if there's nothing new in it. If you've been reminded again that God is the Creator, that he's got a will, and that he's got a plan, and he wants us to be involved in that plan. And we've got to decide, what are we going to do? Are we going to quench the Holy Spirit? Are we going to resist the Holy Spirit? Are we going to say, that's not for me? 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is writing over there, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And if we are ignorant, then we basically say, we do not understand it, we do not know it, we ignore it. We cannot be ignorant about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We cannot be ignorant about the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is full of it. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. We've just now read that all the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the others who were together with them in the upper room, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot ignore the Holy Spirit. And he's warning over there, I do not want you to be ignorant. It's happening quite often that we are ignoring, but that we also sometimes we are afraid of the Holy Spirit working through us. Is something going to happen with me and I don't know what I'm saying or what I'm doing? I don't want to be in such a position. I'm not interested in letting the Holy Spirit working through me. Then you're resisting the Holy Spirit. Then you're quenching the Holy Spirit. But it's available for all of us. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then again in 1 Thessalonians as well, Paul is writing there, rejoice always, pray with ceasing, and everything giving thanks, for it's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Tell all these things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. God's plan is that he wants to give us gifts, that we can do what he wants us to do, that all the people can get be saved. And the gifts of the Spirit are not there that we're going to benefit from it. The other people are going to benefit from it. It's for the benefit of others. It's for the common good. It's for edifying the church. And I can tell you, if you've been praying for somebody and a person is getting healed, it makes a huge difference in that person's life. But it also makes a difference in your life, because it gives you more trust and it gives you more boldness the next time to pray for another person. We've got to minister to one another. 1 Peter 4, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as a good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability with God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. God wants to give us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they can flow through us, that we can edify the church, that other people can benefit from it. So we actually should, in the morning when we wake up, we should pray and say, Lord, It's a new day. You've given me the gifts. Please bring the people to me who need that type of gift which you've given to me, that I can bless them with it. I'm not going to ask by raising of hands of how many people are actually doing that. But this is what God wants us to do, that we should be used, because God wants to work through us. And he's given us the gifts of the Holy Spirit to do that. We also have got the gifts, what we call the redemptive gifts, or the motivational gifts, or they sometimes call it the gifts of the Father. And when I completed that form, then the first thing which came out for me was, I'm a teacher and I'm a prophet. Okay, teacher, I've proved you already today, because I gave you certain times, I gave you two scriptures, because I want to make 100% sure what I'm saying is correct. But a prophet was one where I wasn't aware of. And once that was, it came out of that questionnaire when I completed it, I started actually flowing in it, because I knew that through the answers what I gave on those questions, it's something which is in me, which God has put in me for edifying other people. Our middle son, when he had to do it, he said no. He said he doesn't want to be put into a blocky, into a rock, into a square. He's going as what God is telling him to do. And I said, yes, I can understand what you're saying over there, but the experience what I had myself, I wasn't aware that I was a prophet or that I had the gift of prophecy, that I could prophesy. Not to say that it's always happening, and not to say that what I'm saying is always correct. But when it came out of that, the test, it helped me, because it was easier for me to do it. And when it came, I immediately recognized and said, okay, this God wants to speak through me now, and I can do that. And if you've never done that test, if you've never done it, then I'm going to ask you, please send me a message on my phone, and then I will send you the questionnaire, I will send you back. I will also send you the different gifts of the Father, gifts of the Son, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. I can send it back through to you, and that you can have a look at it. Because then you know what God has already planted into you, and what he wants you to use for. And if you do not know my telephone number, take one of those orange bands at the info table, and the number which is the mobile number which you see on that, that's my number over there. Just pull it out, it has got a banner in it, and send me a message. And that helped me quite a lot, because I could flow now in something what God has given me for the benefit of other people. We are on a top of a road, I can actually say, that God's plan is a road. We can decide if we want to walk in the middle, if we want to walk on the left-hand side or on the right-hand side. There are no traffic rules. We can decide if we want to jump, if we want to walk, if we want to joggle a little bit. We can do whatever we want to do. We can even sing, we can shout, we can scream, we can do whatever we want to do. But God has got a plan, and his plan is like that road. He wants to that we should be on that road. And our roads are different. Our plans, what God has got for us, is different. For the one person, he will say, go over there. And for the other person, he will say, go over there. Do this. And for the other one, do that. For me and my wife, fortunately, he sent both of us over here to do the same thing. So that fortunately helped. If he would have said, she's got to go that way and I've got to go that way, God is not confused concerning that. He will give you, if it is a couple, he will give you both of you. He will give you the same plan. And that is that map what God has got, that plan what God has got for us. That we should work in his plan. We should be on that road. We should be busy with God. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has got a plan with you. God's creation, God's will, and God's plan. We cannot ignore God's creation. We cannot ignore God's will. We cannot ignore God's plan. We know God's plan. We know that God wants to equip us for that. Because God wants us that we should accept him as the creator. And God wants us that we should be aware of his will. Jesus is going to come back. The second coming of Jesus, it is going to happen. And God wants us to know that we are aware of his plan, that all the people should be saved, and that he's equipping us so that we can be part of his plan, that we can put his plan into practice. coming back again to the last of two, I'm coming now to the last scripture, which is back again to the first scripture. But then specifically that part, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. It's so easy for us to get involved in the daily type of things. It's so easy for us that we're not involved with the things of God. We're not involved in His creation. We do not appreciate His creation. And if you walk, okay, this time of the year, it's easier to do, but if you walk outside and you say, thank you, Lord, for your creation. Thank you that I can appreciate your creation, that I can enjoy your creation. It's not happening each and every time, but that we can do something like that. It's the same with God's will, that we can say, but God has got something miraculous what He's got. He is going to send Jesus back, and then we're going to be with Him forever in heaven. It's in the Bible. We trust it. And God has done everything what He promised. He has already done. So that what He promised as well is going to happen as well. It's a will of decree. It is going to happen. And then God's plan. Those are the things what God wants us to do, should be busy with His creation, with His will, and with His plan. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you as a creator. You created everything. It wasn't evolution. It wasn't a combination. It was you, Father. And Father, you've placed us on this earth that we can give glory to you, Father. And we thank you for that we can be over here. And thank you for your love. Thank you that you love the world so much, your creation so much, that you've sent your Son so that we can be with you in heaven forever and ever. And thank you, Father, that as Jesus went back to heaven, that you sent the Holy Spirit as a helper, as an advocate, as a mediator for us, to help us to do what we've got to do, Father. And Father, we're sometimes battling to listen to the Holy Spirit because we're busy with other things. And the other things are unfortunately worldly things, which are not godly things, not things of God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we will have more time to become quiet and to listen what the Holy Spirit is speaking into our hearts. That we also can start the day and we can say, Father, you've given us those gifts. Show me the people today to whom I've got to pray for whom you've got a word of wisdom, or a word of knowledge, or that I can pray for a miracle, or any of the other gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as all eyes are closed at the moment, if you're here this afternoon and you say, but I've never in my life, I've never accepted God as the Creator. I've never said to Him, you are my Father. I've never thanked Jesus that He died for my sins at the cross. And I've never accepted the Holy Spirit as my helper. And if you're here this afternoon and you feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring you, that now it's the time to start a relationship with God, to start walking that road what God has got for you, to start with that plan what God has got for you, then I'm asking you to raise your hand. And if you're here today and you say, the things of God and the things of man, I think my balance is more the other way. It's not in the things of God, but it's the things of man. And you want to make a commitment this afternoon, and you say, but Lord, I want to make that commitment to you, that I want to be more involved in the things of you, in your creation, in your plan, and I want to be aware of what your will is. And I'm telling you, do not wait. Come forward. Come over here that we can pray along with you. And I'm asking of the small group leaders to come forward as well, that we can pray along with you. And if there's any other prayer what you need, please do not leave this room. But come forward that we can pray along with you. Because God is a God who wants to be involved in our lives. But it's for us to decide, are we going to allow Him or are we not going to allow Him? How much are we going to allow Him? Same with the Holy Spirit. Are we prepared to let the Holy Spirit be our helper or are we going to quench, or are we going to resist the Holy Spirit? And if you're here this afternoon and you say, but I've never asked God to be filled with the Holy Spirit, also do not go. Please come forward that we can pray along with you, that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that you can be used for God's plan on this earth. Because God is a perfect God. His plan is a perfect plan. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are the Creator, that you want to be our Father, that you've got something, your will, which will not change. And we're looking forward for Jesus to come back. And Father, we want to be involved in your plan. In your plan that the people on this earth can hear the message of truth, that you are the Creator, that you love your whole creation, and that you want all of them to be saved, that all of them can be with you in heaven forever and ever. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit, which you've sent as a helper, that you've put something godly in us, which is helping us, so that we can do things which maybe sound for us supernatural, and that other people can benefit from it. Thank you for that, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.